Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Altshuler on this first Friday of the month, the People's Day of Prayer. And my normal associate, Dr. Anton, cannot be on today. He's at a silent retreat. And it's been 4 months since I've been on with the office renovation and everything else. So I'm glad to be back on, glad to be speaking with each of you, praying with you, and go from there. This day is really the People's Day of Prayer, and it's really just exactly for that. It's your day. It's your day of any kind of intercessory prayers, and certainly Jesus is in charge, and he's alive and well, and with his wonderful Catholic radio station, this wonderful ministry, the Inner Sign Ministry, led by Kathleen McCarthy. And we really welcome your prayers and look forward to seeing what the Lord today is going to be doing. What kind of miracles is he going to do, answering our prayers and our calls for help? So we'll start as we always do, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for allowing us this day, this day you've given each of us life. You've given each of us a physical being and a spirit just to really be in company with you and one with you. And Lord, we pray in your name, Jesus, that you will bind and cast away any evil spirits about ourselves or these radio waves or around any of our listeners, so that your most Holy Spirit will descend freely upon each of us and guide us, and your spirit of healing and love and mercy will touch all. And we thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'd like to start with the, first of all, give out the phone number, 610-527-2906. And I might want to check that because I'm doing it by memory. Usually we have all these cards out, but since it's the first time back, I want to make sure I gave that number right, which I believe is correct. 610-527-2906. So that's the number, and Maureen and Mary would be glad to answer your calls, and Patrick's doing the engineering, so it's like kind of riding a bike. Everybody's back together, feel at home again, so we're glad to be here. I'd like to read this weekend's gospel reading, which is a reading from Matthew, chapter 21. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent out other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is their heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He'll put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants, and will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you ever read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. The Gospel of the Lord. So this, many of you, some of you might grow grapes and have vineyards with it, but you know, the vineyards are usually, the key is if when their roots grow deep and into get the minerals and they acquire the taste, and the more mature the vineyard and the more hardy the roots, it almost seems the better the wine. And I think the key that's important to that is, here you had a vineyard, and the Lord would be who created the vineyard, and we've been given these gifts of, say, good grapes, the vineyard. But if we don't give the good fruits or act in good ways, know that our lives are rooted in God through Jesus Christ, when we have problems in our lives, when we have worries, or when we become a little prideful or selfish, we don't really have firm roots in the Lord, just like a vineyard has. So in terms of that, we start to get off track. So it's so important that when we have, if we consider ourselves a vine and our roots are deeply rooted in God, and through Jesus Christ, we can give off those good fruits of ourselves, and we can become those good fruits, those grapes that can become good wine and become good fruits to others. And they'll know us by our peace, our love, our humility, our joy. And those are really the good fruits. So that so many times the parables that Jesus said using, here it is a vineyard, we can really kind of take it into our own lives and think, and you know, I never thought till this morning and really reading this, trying to prepare a little bit for it, that we can become the good vines with deep roots rooted in God and allow the graces of Christ to come through us and give those good fruits to others. So I just wanted to remind you again, today is that People's Day of Prayer. We really look forward to any callers, and if somebody wants to call in, we'll make sure the radio is working and people can hear us. We believe it's working, but it'd be good to hear from somebody and call in, and you know, you certainly come on the air with me, and we can pray together, or just you can leave the prayer intentions with Maureen or Mary, if you wish. The phone number is 610-527-2906. I wanted to start with a week ago today was the feast day of the archangels, St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael. And I read something yesterday morning on a website called Spirit Daily, and it was such a neat story, I thought I'd like to share it with each of you on the air, and maybe some of you have heard it, maybe some of you didn't, but I didn't really, here it goes. It's a U.S. Marine story of the Archangel Michael, the Korean War and a Miracle. The young U.S. Marine believed Michael the Archangel had come to rescue him from the 7 communist soldiers who tried to kill him. To some modern experts, skeptics, it might sound ridiculous, but miracles do happen, and there seems to be no natural explanation for what occurred. Often it seems as if nothing but bad news is happening. Since it's Friday, a week after the traditional feast celebrating St. Michael the Archangel, it's a good time to recall that a fervent Christian faith can lead to good even in the darkest situations, and there's always hope. Michael the Archangel is mentioned in the Bible in Daniel 12 and Revelations 12:7-9. In the latter, John the Apostle sees a vision where Michael and his angels fought with a dragon and conquered the dragon, who's called the devil and Satan. Because of this warlike description, Michael has long been considered a patron of soldiers, warriors, and police. One U.S. Marine who had a devotion to St. Michael found the archangel to be a patron indeed. We don't know the Marine's full name, just that he was Michael. He wrote a letter to his mother describing his experience in 1950 in the Korean War. U.S. Navy Chaplain Captain Father Walter Moldy, who talked to Michael, Michael's mother, and Michael's sergeant, later read the letter on a radio broadcast. Below is my transcription of the letter from Father Moldy's recording. There are some gaps where the recording is difficult to understand, but you can also listen to full broadcast below. This was a letter Michael wrote to his mom in 1950 during the Korean War. Dear Mom, I wouldn't dare write this letter to anybody but you, because no one else would believe it. Maybe you'll even find it hard, but I've got to tell somebody. First off, I'm in the hospital. Now don't worry, do you hear me? Don't worry. I was wounded, but I'm okay, understand? Okay. The doctor says I will be up and around in a month. But that isn't what I want to tell you. Remember when I joined the Marines last year? Remember when I left, how you told me to say a prayer to St. Michael every day? You really didn't have to tell me that. Ever since I can remember, you always told me to pray to St. Michael the Archangel. You even named me after him. When I got to Korea, I prayed even harder. Remember that prayer you taught me? And this prayer, I don't really know the prayer. Michael, Michael, the morning, fresh court of heaven adorning. You know the rest of it. Well, I said it every day, sometimes when I was marching, sometimes resting. I even got some of the other fellows to say it. Well, one day I was with an advanced detail way up over the front line. We were scouting for the Viet Cong. I was plodding along in the bitter cold, and my breath was like cigar smoke. And alongside of me comes another Marine whom I never met before. He was bigger than any Marine I've ever seen. He must have been 6'4" and built in proportion. He gave me a feeling of security. Anyway, we were there, trudging along. The rest of the patrol spread out. Just to start a conversation, I said, "Cold, ain't it?" Then I laughed. Here I was with a good chance of getting killed any minute, and I'm talking about the weather. I heard him laugh softly. I looked at him. "I've never seen you before. I thought I knew every man in the outfit." And he said, "I just joined in the last minute," he replied. "The name is Michael." "That's so," I said in reply. "That's my name, too." "I know," he says, and then went on, "Michael, Michael, the morning," with that phrase. I was too amazed to say anything for a minute. "How do you know my name?" Then I smiled to myself. Every guy in the outfit knew about me. Hadn't I taught the prayer to anyone who would listen? Why now? And then they even referred to me as St. Michael. Neither of us spoke for a time. Then we broke the silence. "We're going to have some trouble up ahead." He must have been in fine physical shape. He was breathing so lightly I couldn't see his breath. Mine poured out like a cloud. It was so cold out. There was no smile on his face now. Trouble ahead, I thought to myself. Well, with the Viet Cong all around us, that was no revelation. The snow began to fall in great big blobs. In a brief moment, the whole countryside was blotted out. I was marching in wet, sticky particles. My companion disappeared. "Michael," I shouted in sudden alarm. I felt his hand on my arm. "This will stop." His prediction appeared to be correct. In a few minutes, the snow stopped as abruptly as it began. I looked back to the rest of the patrol. There was no one in sight. We had lost them in that heavy fall of snow. I looked ahead as we came over a little rise. "Mom," my heart stopped. There were several of them. Seven Viet Cong in their padded pants and jackets and funny hats. Only there wasn't anything funny about them now. Seven rifles were aimed at us. "Down, Michael," I screamed, and hit the frozen earth. I heard those rifles fire almost at one. I heard the bullets. There was Michael still standing. "Mom, those guys couldn't have missed at that range." I expected to literally see him blown to bits. There he stood, making no effort to fire himself. He was paralyzed with fear. He stood like a bear fascinated by a snake. At least that's what I thought then. I jumped up to pull him down. That's when I got mine. I felt a sudden flame in my chest. I remember feeling strong arms around me, arms that laid me ever so gently on the ground. I opened my eyes for one last look. I'm dying, I thought. Maybe I was even dead. I remember thinking, well, this isn't so bad. Maybe I was looking into the sun. Maybe I was in shock. But it seemed that I saw Michael standing erect again, only this time his face was shining with a terrible splendor. As I said, maybe it was the sun in my eyes, but he seemed to change as I watched him. He got bigger, his arms stretched wide, maybe it was the snow falling again, but there was a brightness around him like the wings of an angel. In his hand was a sword that flashed with a million lights. And that's the last thing I remember, till the rest of the fellows came up to me and found me. I don't know how much time had passed, but now and then I had a moment's respite from the pain and fever. I remember telling them of the enemy just ahead. "Where's Michael?" I asked. I saw them look at one another. "Where's who?" asked one. Michael, that big Marine I was walking with before the snow started." "Kid," said the sergeant, "you weren't walking with anyone. I had my eyes on you the whole time. You were getting too far out, and I was going to call you in when you disappeared in the snow." He looked at me curiously. "How'd you know it, kid?" "How'd I know what?" I asked, half angry despite my wound. "This Marine named Michael and I were just..." "Son," said the sergeant kindly, "I picked this outfit myself. There just isn't another Michael in it. You're the only Michael in it." He paused for a moment. "Just how'd you do it, kid? We heard shots. There hasn't been a shot fired from your rifle, and there isn't a bit of lead in those seven bodies over the hill." I didn't say anything. What could I say? And then the sergeant spoke again. "Kid," he said gently, "every one of those Viet Cong over there is killed by a sword strike. And I can tell you, Mom, as I say, it may have been the sun in my eyes, it may have been the cold, but that's what happened. Love, Michael." And that's a story from a soldier in the Korean War about how St. Michael saved him. And I thought that was really an interesting story. So when we're praying St. Michael and we say the St. Michael's Prayer, I think it's certainly important to understand that this is not just a fairy tale or something. It's truly true that we're praying to St. Michael. And it's good to pray to St. Michael, St. Raphael, and St. Gabriel, the guardian angels, the archangels. So perhaps some of you can keep that in mind and always keep that St. Michael's prayer that most of you know. We'll have to say that at the end of the hour today. So it's now 5:19, and certainly open. The lines are open for any prayer requests. Number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. We've had a couple of people call for some prayer intentions already. We will start with, we have Ann, who's praying for her sisters, that her sister's MRI results are good. So we'll pray. Ann had requested them. We don't know her sister's name, but we'll pray for Ann's sister. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray in your name, Jesus, that Ann's sister's MRI results are good. And we pray, Lord, that Ann's sister will be open to your perfect will. And if it's not your will that the results are not good, we pray that Ann's sister and Ann will have the peace knowing that you are in charge and you have your healing hands covering Ann's sister and her health. And Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you in your name. Amen. We also have prayers for Sean. His mother asked prayers that he come to the realization that he needs help to get off drugs. Lord Jesus, we pray. We also pray for, through the Immaculate Heart of your Mother, to your Sacred Heart, Lord Jesus, we pray for Sean that he will come to the realization that he needs help to get off the drugs and off the addiction. We pray, Lord, that you may heal that hole in his heart that he keeps trying to fill up with drugs or alcohol, whatever it might be. Pray also, Lord, for any of our listeners who are struggling with any kind of addictions right now, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you may send down your Holy Spirit upon them and open their hearts to receiving you, to receiving your loving healing, your peace, your mercy. Lord, we pray that your rays of love and mercy will fill the hearts of those whose hearts are empty and they keep trying to fill up that empty hole with these addictive behaviors, and they think that's really working. We pray, Lord, they'll have the realization that the only true healing, the only way our hearts are really filled up is with filled up with your love, Lord. And that's the true healing that is what you wish for all of us. So we praise you, Lord, and thank you in advance for hearing our prayers. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We also had a prayer request for Arlene for a special intention. Lord, we pray for Arlene and for that special intention that she has. Lord, we pray that it's your will that this may be healed. We pray that this intention may come through and you can have, she may have this peace and knowing that this healing that will take place, Lord. We pray for the person who called. If it was Arlene or one of Arlene's friends or relatives, we pray for them. We pray, Lord, that in your name, this intention will be granted. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I'm wondering, what is it that some of our listeners are listening? Who is it that you know, or is it yourself, that needs the healing powers of Jesus? And that's what Jesus wants us. He wants that for all of his children. And there's no one that he ever really leads out, but all we have to do is ask. And it almost seems like it's too, how can it be too easy to just pick up the phone and call, and how does it really work when you're calling for a prayer that Jesus will hear the prayer and you will have a healing, or any of our listeners will have a healing? And that's what the wonderful thing of this Catholic radio station is. It gives a great conduit to allow Jesus working through myself or any of the broadcasters to the listeners. And you're more important than we are because you are the part of the conduit of the Holy Spirit that it will transpire these phone lines and go from our hearts to your heart. The healing will, the really wonderful, loving healing of Jesus will come through there. So really, ask if any of you are getting prompted, or pray you'll have that holy boldness to allow the Holy Spirit to answer that prompting where you'll call up and ask for prayers, either for yourself or someone else. That's the greatest gift that we can give, really, is the gift of prayer and of ourselves to others. So I'd like to say a prayer right now to all of our listeners. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that your healing touch will touch each of our listeners. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will touch each of our listeners' heart. And if there's any prayer request and any type of need that they need, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will give them the wisdom to realize that and the wisdom to pray about it and to ask for prayers for this prompting they have. We pray for any of our listeners who are have the prompting to call and ask for prayers for someone or even themselves, but are a little bit shy. We pray, Lord, that you'll give them the holy boldness and you give them that peace and love and give them the prompting to, if it's your will, that they may call and ask for the prayers. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you in your name, and amen. I'll give the number again for your listeners. It's 610-527-2906. So 610-527-2906. I almost forgot how to push the mute when I had to cough, but I still can remember that. I wanted to tell you a story about, there's a fellow that I've been seeing, I've been, really had the grace to see. Maybe I'll continue this story, I'll start this story after the commercial break. But it's a story about a friend of mine who has had ALS, or that Lou Gehrig's disease, and I've had the really grace to be able to visit him once a week, you know, because a lot of times when people really get, when they really get that disease or something where it kind of scares people off, and a lot of people don't keep in touch with them anymore because they know the outcome isn't really good. But meanwhile, I was asked and it was prompted to come visit with him. And so each week I get the grace, the wonderful blessing to be able to visit my friend Mike. There's another Mike, another Michael, to do that. And at first it was a little kind of difficult carrying on the conversation, do that. But we used to coach Little League Baseball together, and we started out with conversations about that, and then how it worked out. But was a wonderful, and is a wonderful experience to spend the time with somebody who is in pain, and somebody who's dead. And the biggest thing, the conversation, you know what, I think I better continue this story after, because it's going to take a little while. So the phone number, if any of you want to call, 610-527-2906, and we're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be right back. Thanks.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I'm Mike Altschul, and this first Friday of the month is People's Day of Prayer. It's the first time in a number of months we've been able to be on the air because it was beautiful office renovation here at the InnoSign Network. So I'll just repeat again. The phone number is 610-527-2906 for any prayer requests, or really if you want to speak about any topic about our main person, Jesus Christ, and their Catholic faith, which is what a blessing each of us are blessed to have and all like that. So I was starting to tell a story about my friend Mike, who's got ALS, and I have the grace to be able to see him once a week, visit with him once a week for an hour or two. And, you know, he's got this little bit of slower type. He's in his fourth year, but things have really started to seem to change over the last 6 months, where he's been in a wheelchair for a while, but the lower part of his body, he's lost a lot of use of that, and it's working its way up, and it's really it become more difficult. And when I would speak to Mike, we would talk about a lot of things, but what's really wonderful is I'm able to bring him the Eucharist each week, and to have that, have him celebrate the Eucharist, and just how appreciative he is of it. And it's just such a blessing that you can just see the faith and the true faith that he has. And would like to, what's really neat about it is to just see how he's really thirsting for the Eucharist. And which also gives us the ability to speak about, you know, eternal life. And, you know, our lives on earth, there are a finite number of years, and we always like to have a certain amount of time, we figure. But the thing about, at some time, we're all going to pass away. And this is just, the best is yet to come. And, you know, speaking with someone who, you know, that with that ALS, that Luke Erick's disease, it's really, we certainly always hope and pray for a miracle, but it's really almost like a death sentence. You know this is going to happen, you know that. But to talk about the end of our earthly lives and the beauty and unbelievable part of everlasting life is amazing, because infinity, you know, eternal life, eternal's a long time. And, you know, if you live a long life on earth, 90 years, in earthly terms, that's a long time. But in eternity, it's really a short time. So, you know, certainly each of us, whether we live a day or 90 years, the main objective is certainly to spend eternity with God the Father in heaven and with the Trinity. And that really takes the chill off. It's still the reality of life, but it really gives, where someone always says the best is yet to come. So, my friend Mike, so how this conversation is coming about is I've had a friend of mine who I was not aware of, but he's got this this wonderful prayer to a vision 20-some years ago from the Blessed Mother Mary to create a shrine for Mary, to create a Medjugorje counterpart in the United States. And Gregory had this vision, and he's somehow worked it out where he was led to get a project purchased through his missionary, Queen of Peace missionary, up in the Pocono area. And it's really a huge piece of ground. And he's had this for over 20 years. And somehow I've got to know Gregory through a friend of ours, Father McFadden, and it's really been a wonderful thing. And probably about a year ago, Gregory asked me, Mike, I want to start building, we want to build the exact duplicate of the cross in Medjugorje here in the Poconos, and I'd like you to help me with it, be the project manager. And I said, Gregory, I sell building products. I don't build things. So, but I said, I was ready to tell him no, but I said, Gregory, I'll pray about it, you know, give you help. Because I, you know, the property is like 455 acres, and it's all mostly wooded. So I was a little bit overwhelmed, but something told me to say, okay, you'll pray about it. So I was, it was one of my visits with my friend Mike with the ALS, and Mike was a construction manager before he hadn't been out of work the last couple of years because of this. And I was speaking with Mike about it, and I said, Mike, I got a problem. This fellow's asking me to help him build this project, which is like amazing. I'm still working full time, but he wanted me to kind of oversee the thing. And I said, he has prints from the church in Medjugorje, St. James Church, of the cross, so that he has the exact dimensions. But he wants to build a rosary path, he wants to build a blue cross, and he wants to build the true Medjugorje cross, exact duplicate, which is over 30 feet high of concrete. So I'm looking at Mike, and I said, I don't know, Mike, you know, I don't do this. And it was kind of funny, but like the Holy Spirit just looked at me, through me, and I looked at Mike. I said, hey, Mike, I said, I'll tell you what, you can't physically do much anymore, unfortunately, because of this. But you have your brains, and if you could be the brains of this project, I'll just kind of be the set of legs and go through it. If you can guide me what to do, the different steps, how to go about it. So Mike said, he had that look in the eyes like, yeah, sure, why not? Be glad to help you. And it never entered my mind that where this would go. So the next thing is, I said, okay, Mike, what do we do to start? What do I need to start? And he said, well, you've got to get structural drawings because you're going to need a contractor to build this, and it's going to be pretty complicated being that big and with that. But he said, you're going to need to start there. So it's like with everything in this project, and it's still a work in progress, but everything with this project, whenever it'd be a roadblock, I would, my human instinct, say, nah, this is it, I can't do anymore, we're at a dead end. But for every dead end, I'd kind of just say a prayer. And then, like, within a couple of days, some idea came. I thought about a fellow I went to high school with who was a concrete contractor, and I thought, well, maybe he'll know a structural engineer do this. So I thought this fella, I hadn't really talked to him for a number of years, called him up, spoke about this and this, and he thought about it, and then I had to kind of remind him a couple of times over a period of a month, and then he got back to a structural engineer named Tom, and Tom agreed to do the drawings. I explained to him, he had never heard about Medjugorje before, but I told him about the story about Medjugorje and how Mary is still appearing to a couple of the visionaries every day, and it's been going on, if I say the right, I might be off, but over 40 years, over in Medjugorje where the Blessed Mother's been appearing. And Tom said, boy, that's an interesting story. And I had no idea about Tom's faith or anything like that, but I was telling him a story. I sent him the website, Spirit Daily, and it says Medjugorje Live Webcam. You can push a button, you can see Blue Cross, you can see Apparition Hill and Cross Mountain, where they had built in 1933, the people in Medjugorje, the town of Medjugorje, they built a cross to commemorate 1900 years after the birth of Christ. So on the cross it says 1933, but that cross, and my friend Greg, who takes people on pilgrimages all over the world, has been to Medjugorje a number of times, and through this dream he had 20 years ago, he just continues to plot on, and somehow he managed to get the okay of getting the copy, the dimensions of the cross, the exact cross from Medjugorje to here. So my friend Tom, the engineer, I spoke to him about it, prayed about it, sent over the prints. I said, look, this is what we need. You know, if you could look it over and give us a price, what it would take to get the structural drawings done, because we're going to need that to get this project at least started. So then, lo and behold, it was back and forth, and I didn't know if Tom would buy into it or not, but he really became quite interested, and as the drawings were coming up, he had different questions, and there was a couple other people that were involved that Greg had known, the original architect who was looked at the property and the dimensions. But all in all, so what happened was Tom had completed the drawings, and he really was he really embraced it, and he really did volunteered his services, which was quite amazing. So now we had this structural drawings, and I said, Mike, what do we need to do next? And he said, well, you need to go through, you're going to need access to it, because it's a bunch of, you know, mile and a half of trees and woods to get through to get to the top of the hill, because he wanted to cross at the top of the site, the top of the mountain. So lo and behold, kind of hit a dead end. I had to pray about that. And I said, well, what do we need? He said, well, you're going to also need permits, and you're going to need somebody with land that knows how to deal with the permits and to get the okay and all these kind of things. So I thought, wow, this is like beyond me. So I said, all right. So I said, Mike, so he said, then you're going to need the trees cleared so you have access to even build the thing. And then you're going to need to get some prices from contractors to construct the thing. And as I said all these things, I had asked my friend Gregory with his great faith, Gregory, I'll do all these things. I'm not sure what the costs are all going to be, but I think it's going to be a lot of money. And Gregory said, don't worry about that. He said, we just need to find the costs, and God will provide the money. I will go to the ministry of members I know and try to raise the funds. And I said, okay. And he just had such confidence. So lo and behold, we got the structural drawings done. We finally, after a number of months, gotten a price to build it, and then Gregory and his wife Michelle volunteered the last month they took off, and he rented a mini excavator, and him, his wife Michelle, and their friend Joachim, they cut the trees out, carved the path out, so that So now there's access to the top of the mountain for the construction site to do that. God provided through someone I had known and wasn't sure exactly what he did, but I knew he did some sort of land planning. This fella is offering his services to do all the permits and get everything together. So lo and behold, this project, which I thought was impossible, and I was meeting with my friend Mike, who's got ALS, and he really was getting, you know, kind of down the dumps because he wasn't able to work anymore. And it's a difficult thing where you're staying home and you keep losing more and more of the use of your different limbs and all. Well, now, Mike, this is like really something that keeps him going, where he's critical, because what God has provided them with the wisdom and a great brain with the construction ideas and aspect, he's really kind of commandeering this thing from the wheelchair. And then God's just touching other people how this is. He's kind of using me to just mention something or guide other people, but he's putting it together. So this will be a story, a work in progress, but hopefully by this time next year, we'll have this cross. It'll be in God's time, but this cross will be constructed, exact duplicate of that. And it really should be quite a beautiful shrine area for Mary, for the Mary the Queen of Peace, for people to come to for some local pilgrimages. And I think it'll really be a neat thing. So God sometimes, all the time, has plans much bigger than we can figure. But if we just allow him to be involved in each of the decisions of our life, and we try not to make it ourselves, but do it, he'll put someone here. And he probably knew all this along beforehand when he somehow prompted myself to visit my friend Mike with ALS, that he knew that if Mike was open to it, God was going to use Mike's wisdom and brains and construction knowledge to really be the brains to set up the construction of this cross and of this project to get it going and nourished. And it might not be in Mike's lifetime or my lifetime or Greg's lifetime, but I'm sure for 100 years from now, people will look back at this, and or 100 years from now, and they'll be going to a wonderful prayer site honoring the Queen of Heaven and the cross commemorating our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God's got this plan. So I think a lot of times we just have to be open to these promptings, and when we hit dead ends, just have faith that God will provide at some point. And he seems to always come through just in the nick of time. Excuse me, sometimes even before we're really thinking about it. So that's the story. I'll keep you posted over the next year how this project's going. But you can keep your prayers in that. And I'd like to say a prayer now for Mike and all those suffering from ALS, or those such as Father Ralph suffering from Parkinson's. We pray, Lord, in your infinite wisdom and love and mercy, we pray you can touch each of the individuals who did not choose these crosses to carry, but for reasons unknown except only to you, they've developed these diseases. And we pray, Lord, that even though their physical bodies will, just like all of ours do, day by day, slowly age, we pray that although their physical bodies are going to be deteriorating, and they'll know that, we know their minds will still be sharp and clear, which is, becomes even more difficult. We pray, Lord, that they may see your hand through every part of their lives. We pray, Lord, in those moments when they kind of get down and are looking inside and feeling sorry for themselves or angry or frustrated that they cannot do things that normally they used to be able to do, we pray, Lord, that you will give them the grace to be able to understand that you're with them and let them see how you're touching others' lives through them and they're carrying of the cross. We pray, Lord, if it's your will, that there can be instant healing of any of our listeners who have Parkinson's or ALS. But Lord, we pray most importantly that each of them can grow closer to you and knowing and loving you. We pray, Lord, they'll get to know your mother in a closer way. We pray, Lord, they'll be open to your spirit to touch them and give them the peace to go through minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, Lord. We pray you give them hope and faith, knowing the best is yet to come. And that's for all of us, but particularly those who are suffering some sort of physical ailment here on earth. We pray, let them know that you can get them through this moment. You never leave our side. It's us who leave you. Mentally, we just forget you're there. But we pray, Lord, that any listeners who have any of these debilitating diseases, we pray, Lord, that they can visualize you just holding your hand out to them and them holding their hand to you, or just you putting their hand on their shoulder and just comfort them, reassure them that you're with them at their side and you're always there, and all they need to do is ask for you, Lord. And we praise you and thank you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we had a caller call in, and by the way, certainly you still have time, about 8 minutes, to call in. The phone number is 610-527-2906. We're sorry we haven't been on the air for the last couple of months with the office renovation. We couldn't get in, but we're starting up again. So we hope any that can listen will feel free to call in. And who is it that you're prompted to pray for, maybe for yourself? We had a caller call in for prayers for Fran, who's undergoing treatment for breast cancer. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for Fran, and really any of those who are undergoing treatment for breast cancer, or really any kind of cancers. Lord, we pray that there again, they will feel your touch. They'll feel your hand on their shoulder, or they'll be able to hold your hand, or really, you know, have that feeling that they're holding your hand. Because physically they might not see your hand and know it's there, but spiritually that they can believe that you are with them and by their side. Lord, we pray for, if it's your will, for any healing for Fran and all those undergoing treatment, whether it be chemo, radiation, whatever it might be for these various cancers, Lord, we pray that you may heal Fran, any of those with breast cancer, or any type of cancers. You pray you may heal them cell by cell so that their body will be renewed and refreshed, if it's your will. I pray, Lord, that you'll give Fran and those who are going through treatments for these different cancers, we pray, Lord, you'll give them the peace knowing that they're loved by you, knowing that they're your son or daughter, and they're in your Father, yourself, and your Spirit are all as one just for them. We pray, Lord, that you'll give them the hope, knowing that they are loved, that you're with them, and the best days are yet to come. Pray, Lord, you can get them through this hour, these minutes, or this hour, and this evening, Lord. We pray you can give them the hope and confidence, knowing that you're with them and you love them and your peace is with them and you wish to heal them, whether it's spiritually, physically, or emotional. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in advance. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, for our listeners, it's almost like we're back in summer camp, but it's really the fall. So we're back in with that great grace and gift to be able to really converse and pray on the air for our listeners. We have the opportunity with this wonderful ministry, this Catholic radio ministry, to speak about our Catholic faith, speak about Jesus Christ, speak about our Blessed Mother Mary, about Saint Joseph, all the angels and saints. We really are blessed, and this radio ministry is a true blessing to have. And we pray for the strength and healing for Kathleen McCarthy, or just the strength to continue to have the wisdom and strength to continue guiding this ministry. We pray for all those who work here, Maureen and Patrick and any engineers that are here, and Mary and any other volunteers, Lord. We pray they may really feel your loving presence and hands with them and go from there. Lord, we thank you for advance. And I'd like to end with a prayer for all those listening. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to spread your word, spread your hope, spread your love and your peace. Lord, we pray that even just one heart will be touched by this prayer. Lord, we pray that many will be, but Lord, we pray that for that one person right now who's really doubting their faith, who's doubting your existence, who's depressed about the way it seems their life going. Lord, we pray you'll give them some sort of sign or some sort of hope, some ray of light, whether it's through one of our listeners getting prompted and call that individual up, or whoever would be listening. We pray, Lord, that their hearts are open and know that you truly love them and wish their total healing, physical, spiritual, emotional healing, and you just long to spend eternity with them. But we pray, Lord, that each of us can get to know you better in our time on earth, so when we do reach our end of our earthly lives, you're not a stranger to us. And I pray, Lord, for each of our listeners to become closer and better friends with you on this earth, so they'll recognize you at the time of their earthly lives. We thank you, Lord, for being with us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.